Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. My guest today is James LaBerry of Beyond Marketing, and today we're going to be discussing James's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. James comes from a tiny island nation in the Caribbean called Antigua. He was born into a family of entrepreneurs who raised him in a culture steeped in service, excellence, and hospitality. In 2013, James established Beyond Marketing with a set of 10 staunch core values. Beyond Marketing is viewed as one of the most respected marketing agencies for its employee satisfaction and client work. Thanks so much for joining us today, James.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here.
Great. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Fort Mill, South Carolina. We are basically a suburb of Charlotte, North Carolina. So just 20 minutes just south of the city.
Very nice. And what motivates you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, what motivates me as an entrepreneur? Great question. Try to figure it out. You know, I don't know any entrepreneur has it figured out. And I love that because the dynamics involved with the people aspect within your own organization, your clients, the business financials of it all, and how all that works together. I love it. I have to say, I love the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, it's such an exciting challenge just trying to, you know, figure out all the moving parts. So yeah, I love it. It's just, it's so much fun. And how do you grow as an entrepreneur?
On a personal level or professional?
Both. You can pick.
Okay, sure. Well, I think in order to have growth, you got to have balance, right? And I think the challenge for most entrepreneurs is not to become or to try and avoid becoming a slave to your business. Mm. And, you know, there's always this push-pull of working in your business and working on your business.
Yes.
And, you know, that's one of the challenges. So in order for there to be growth, there's got to be balance. And a piece of that for me is making sure that I'm developing healthy habits. You know, I'm one of those people who have tried and failed many things by setting big, audacious goals. But now I'm really more into the micro of each day of I just want to be able to make sure that I'm setting small goals every day, which allows me to work on the big picture, both on a health standpoint or a wellness, mental health standpoint personally, as well as the business, because mm-hmm. we're trying to see the forest from the trees. So mandating sort of things that I want to do for myself personally through healthy habits daily mm-hmm. allows me to have perspective, because that's really what we need as entrepreneurs, is to have perspective between, you know, the actual work day to day, but also seeing the forest from the trees, right? So
yeah,
I think I do my best growth with having a balance, reading, getting away from my business. That helps me personally, but it helps me see the big picture and allows me to grow both personally and professionally.
Really well said. I love that. And so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
I think like most people sort of, it was not a linear path into this. I remember, back when Apple was like, you know, what was it? The Mac SE and the SE20 with the amazing 20 megabyte hard drive in the early 90s. But in the early days of web, when Netscape Navigator was a big thing. So I'm dating myself. I'm 44 years old. I learned Adobe and started to and built when I was a golf professional. That's another world. But I built a website literally, you know, from a very amateurish approach. Mm-hmm. For our golf club. And I remember going to the golf club management and they're like, what do we need a website for? But I built this, you know, a very robust website in terms of, you know, we had individual hole profiles and all kinds. It was way over the top. And in retrospect, the design must have been terrible. But that was really my start. You know,
that's interesting.
Was getting my hands dirty. I love marketing. You know, I have a whole sort of philosophy behind it, but that's kind of how I got my start. But it wasn't very direct. I was a golf professional. I was in that golf world. Mm-hmm. I had a minor in marketing from university. And then my whole life completely changed where I got into skydiving. And I ran a skydiving company for nearly 10 years. And I had to really get my hands dirty, a lot of DIY with digital marketing. And okay. Going through that process, really started digging in more into what is SEO? How does it work? It was very nascent days for Google Ads. But we were right there sort of in that early stages. And as I saw the business that I was running, the skydiving center, you know, I had a penchant for it. And we were growing fairly rapidly. And then, you know, after 9 years of running a skydiving company, I was like, wow, I have a knack for this thing.
Yeah.
And very audaciously decided that I would start a marketing agency, a team of one, with very little money to have any kind of runway. And 9 years later, we're still going strong.
So why did you decide to pivot from running a skydiving business to starting your marketing agency?
I've always been passionate about marketing because I've watched my parents do it incredibly well. So okay. As you mentioned at the top of the podcast, I come from Antigua, and Antigua is only 12 miles long and 9 miles wide. And the main industry in Antigua is tourism. Mm-hmm. And that means that you've got a tiny island with a lot of cruise ship passengers and passengers coming in from all over the globe, and it's dog-eat-dog competition. Mm. And having been raised watching my parents who are entrepreneurs, what I watched them continuously do in many different iterations of the businesses that they ran was get a competitive advantage, despite kind of having mediocre marketing.
Right.
And I really took what I learned from watching them and saying, wow, this is a different approach to marketing that I'm really into. And what that is they didn't know that it was structured this way, but what they recognize is if we can resonate with people's hearts, mm-hmm. then we can get attention and engagement. And so what they literally started doing was they identified every single customer point of interaction from the moment a guest inquired to come kayaking, because they ran an eco-kayaking tour.
Okay.
And all the steps from there to arriving in the country, getting off the cruise line, and going, okay, what would be the expectation of every single customer point of interaction? Mm-hmm. But they were fine-tuning. They identified 40 points of customer interface or interactions between start to finish. And they said, how do we exceed expectations at each one? And then they went about exceeding that. So the overall experience ended up wowing people. You know, and the hard part was when you go on holiday to a place like Antigua, your expectations are high.
Right.
So the challenge for a business owner down there is how do we exceed expectations when expectations are already so high?
Yeah.
So what they ended up doing by really honing in at every point of interaction and making it as good as possible was the word of mouth marketing that got generated from that was enormous. So I really taken that philosophy in trying to resonate with people by treating people better than they expect to be treated. And I wouldn't call that customer service, more customer experience, and marrying that with digital. I always felt like customer experience is marketing. I think a philosophy for many business owners is people arrive at your business to spend money or do the activity or service that you offer and think, oh, my marketing worked, I got them here. And I really looked at it going, oh, wait a minute. Great marketing really begins when the customer arrives, because I want to create loyalists so that they can become part of my team and spread the word about my business. So if I can marry good digital together with good customer experience, which I view as marketing very much, I'm going to have a winning recipe.
Yeah.
And to do that, you got to dig down into the details. So it allows you to be creative, being able to figure out, how do I wow people by exceeding expectations? That is fun, because at the end of the day, it means that it's really about making people feel good. I view life is so short, and I don't want to be in the business of grinding the way that I grind as an entrepreneur to try and make money so that I can maybe buy stuff and then die. I love this idea of, hey, let's be creative, and how do we make people feel great so that they can have resonance towards my company or the clients that we serve? Mm-hmm. And then make sure that we're complementing that with digital. To me, that marketing is exciting, but it's a more complete, well-rounded package.
Yeah.
I loathe the term marketing when people think, oh, that's advertising. We got to hit people here at their brains. I really want to say, hold on a minute. That's what everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. Let's be creative and see how we can hit people at their hearts for resonance. And in our marketing, that there's a storytelling.
Yeah.
We always hear this in marketing, but I don't think that there's a lot of practitioners of showcasing who we are as much as what we do. That's such a key ingredient for us with our clients, is how do we tell a better story to get more resonance and all that. So that was a long-winded answer to your question of why did I get into marketing? Because I love trying to make people feel good. It's very rewarding to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not interested in the kind of marketing that, you know, that appeals to kind of mental manipulation. I'm more about connecting with the heart.
Yeah, I really resonate with that when you said exceeding expectations at every step along the way, because I feel like we think about it as, you know, one thing, like how can I exceed customer expectations? And it's just one step. But yeah, when you break it down, you think, how can I be exceeding expectations every step along the way? That is pretty powerful to think about. It's like, have you read Atomic Habits?
So when I was talking about, when you asked me about how am I getting better as a person or as an entrepreneur, Atomic Habits was my winter read in December. And it just... lights went out on in terms of how can I be better by working on those small little daily habits, that 1% better, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That really resonated with me. What a great book.
Yeah. Such a great book. Yeah. And exactly like that whole 1% making, you know, every aspect of your business 1% better. Yeah. I think that's such a great concept. Just exceeding expectations on every step along the way.
Yeah. Brilliant book.
Yeah,
I have a newsletter that I put out to our clientele, and that was my sort of book recommendation for January. Got to read this book. It's really good.
Nice, nice. I'm halfway through it right now, but I'm definitely loving it. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's an easy read.
Definitely. So tell us, what challenges did you have to overcome at the beginning of starting off your agency?
You know, I started my agency in my car, in my two-car garage. I had a lot of challenges.
Right.
I will tell you what was critical for our success. And I'm almost loath to talk about this because I think that the topic of Zappos has been, you know, it was like, it was the poster child for all things great. And it was what sort of for a period there, what many marketers talked about with the culture at Zappos, but it really was transformative. And I view Tony Hsieh, who obviously, you know, passed away within the last year or so, really one of my business heroes. Mm-hmm. So just very quickly, you know, I had resigned from my previous job. I knew that I wanted to start a marketing agency. So for the entire year of 2012, I found that the cheapest accommodations that I could have, so I could try and save as much money as possible to have at least a 6-month runway to pay my bills if I never even got one single client.
Right.
So I was flying to Antigua during the month of December to sort of formulate my business plan. And along my journey, I picked up Fortune magazine's top 100 places to work. And I was introduced to Zappos for the very first time. And within the pages, they were talking about these spontaneous conga lines that were breaking out in their call centers. And I was like, that's great marketing. I'm such a cynic. I don't believe that could possibly be true. Yeah. But I was intrigued. So at my next connection point in Miami, I picked up, I happened to see this book called Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh. And I read that thing from cover to cover. And I came away from that going, wow, this defies everything I ever learned in business school. In fact, I was never taught any of this in business school.
Yeah.
And learning of Tony's journey, I'm not sure if you're familiar with his story.
No, I'm not.
Oh, it's well, I don't know how much time we have. I'll save it. But essentially, when I got to Antigua, I was so spellbound by this rich culture that this company with 2,000 odd employees had. And the reason why this resonated with me was that the prior job that I was at, I was so burnt out on office politics and drama. Mm-hmm. That I honestly created, because I hired everybody that was working there. What did I do wrong? Because the business was doing so financially well, but it was not a healthy environment. So I just said, you know what, if I want, I'm so spellbound by this, if this is true, I need to go see this for myself. So with the very limited money that I had, I actually flew to Las Vegas, and I spent 3 days with HR of Zappos. And if you're not familiar with Zappos, they were at the time an online shoe company. Now they sell pretty much everything that you can wear. But what's so remarkable about them is their level of customer service that they deliver, which generates incredible loyalty, but it's the culture within this organization that allows that to happen. Mm-hmm. And at the core of this culture is their core values. And basically, Zappos makes sure that every decision they make organizationally must be in compliance with their core values. And I saw it everywhere. And usually we see core values and mission and vision statements in a 3-ring binder sitting on the, you know, on a shelf in HR. But these core values were everywhere. They were, you know, written in big print in the stairwells from one floor to the next. They were on everyone's security badges. They were on the boxes. It was, you got to be in compliance with the core values, even if it causes financial loss. As long as you're being true. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know what? This is very audacious. I'm starting a marketing agency of one. I don't know that it will ever succeed, but I want to begin with my core values. What do I want?
Yeah.
And you know, I put my chalkboard paint up on the wall, and I wrote out my core values. So to come back to your question, what were my biggest challenges? Well, certainly funding, but I had clarity in terms of what I was looking for in a client, which is very audacious, because in those early days, you think you'd take anyone.
Yeah.
But I quickly recognized it gave me clarity of who I was looking to work with. I knew my value.
Yeah.
And then as I started expanding, bringing in new team members through time, I knew the kind of team member I was looking for based on the values that I'd established. So
interesting.
A little bit of a sideways answer to your question, but I would say if I didn't do that, I don't know that we would have made it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love that. And then how do you guys set yourselves apart from other agencies to stand out in a saturated market?
Great question. I try to make it very personal. And we have, you know, as an agency, probably 60 plus clients. I never want anyone to feel that way. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you were to look at our website at beyondmarketing.xyz, you're going to see video of our team. And when I was looking for inspiration for our website, all marketing agencies tend to look the same. This is what we do. This is our portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, you know, if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner or a marketing team for a larger size business, you're taking a big like step out of your comfort zone to hire a third party to help your business grow. And you need to have a lot of trust in those people,
yeah.
Right? Because this, because your business is your baby. So that means that this interaction is very personal. It's not transactional. Mm-hmm. So the way that we differentiate ourselves is to look smaller, not look bigger, to look more personal, and for people to see our faces, to see sort of our energy. And then marry that with our reviews, honestly. I mean, reviews is digital, is word of mouth at digital scale. We've been very focused on ensuring that we have more reviews than anyone in our marketplace.
Amazing.
We've been successful with that, maintaining a perfect five, knocking on wood. Hopefully we don't have anyone upset. But the combination between showing our humanity in our messaging, mm-hmm. As well as our own personal stories, because I'm looking again, I'm marketing myself the way that I want my clients to market. I want to resonate with your heart. Mm-hmm. You're just taking a step out, reach out to a marketing agency, and you're hoping that they're going to love your company as much as you love it yourself. Then this is very personal.
Absolutely. Yep. It's your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those are the two big ways. And obviously we do our own Google Ads and SEO and all those things, but that's the secret sauce, I think.
Very cool. So what is the biggest challenge that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Time. Mm-hmm. You know, as the leader of my company, I'm doing a lot of engagement between our individual team members. There are certain projects that I'm working on, as well as business development initiatives. So I think, you know, again, that's the push-pull. And right. On daily, I'm finding that I'm really having to be very strict with my calendar. Yes. I'm now no longer trying to maintain a to-do list, but sort of as my tasks, if you will, on said to-do list are created, I'm trying to plug them into blocks of time. And then yes. Honoring that time where I can't be disturbed so I can actually get the things done that I do. But it's a push-pull because you want to be available for your team. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, there's big picture thinking that has to get done. So that's it. It's time.
Yeah. And I love that you say that you put them in your calendar to make it happen because, yeah, there's usually the most important things in your business require you to really sit back and think and just give yourself that uninterrupted time to get creative and come up with those great ideas. And I found myself putting it on my to-do list and then it would roll over to the next day and over to the next day because it was that big, hairy task, but it was also the most important one. So whenever I started plugging that into my calendar, and then I gave myself permission to just block everything else out and focus on it. That was a game changer for me.
Yeah. Game changer for us as well, for me personally.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd love to pick your brain on a few of your top tips and lessons you've experienced while growing your agency so our listeners can have some actionable takeaways. Mm-hmm. So to start off, I'd like to talk a little bit about sales. So what are your top tips for bringing in more leads and closing more sales?
I think the lowest hanging fruit is the clients we already have.
Okay.
And what I have discovered is I never feel comfortable when we land a client. And I always want to make sure that we work so hard to get them that if I can exceed their expectations, mm-hmm. And by that good communication, as opposed to them only hearing from us when they either get a report or an invoice. It's checking in a lot.
Yes.
What I've discovered is that now my clients are part of my marketing team. If any of their colleagues or associates need something, I'm top of mind. So, you know, I think many people are thinking, well, what's your sales tactic? Well, we do have that, but make sure we take care of the clients that we have already, because the word of mouth growth that we've received is our number one sales generator, for sure.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. And I don't think it's something that people place enough value on, that agency owners don't place enough value on. Love that.
For sure. I also, you know, let's look at reviews. Again, the most powerful form of marketing that is and forever will be is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And when people are shopping, they're just like if you're on Amazon, you're looking for what I call the obvious choice. Yeah. You work really hard to be the obvious choice. Mm-hmm. We have systems in place so that if we have a super happy client, we have systems in place to make sure that they are willing or will leave us a review.
That's awesome.
If at first blush, if you know as many marketing agencies as there are in Charlotte and in our most immediate town of Fort Mill and this skyrocketing town next to us called Rock Hill, if you're not getting a referral from a colleague, then really you're going to be making assumptions based on reviews and your average star rating. Yeah. I push that aggressively for our clients to make sure that's top of mind, and that's no different for us. And we do get a lot of phone calls as a result of our reputation online.
That's amazing. So is it primarily Google reviews that your clients are seeing?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know, as marketers, we know if we look into the data that the amount of traffic, the Google Business page, or I think it's now called officially the Google Business Profile, is receiving is... it's huge, and that can't be ignored. So, you know, that little trust point of, wow, they're getting a lot of reviews. And we've been very fortunate because we've worked so hard to exceed expectations. We're not getting like, this agency is great. A lot of our clients are waxing poetic about us on the Google reviews, and that has allowed us to generate a flywheel, if you will, of people contacting us just by our online reputation. And then throw in that, yes, we compete on Google Ads, you know, to get out there. Mm-hmm. We are generating content in the niche industries that we're working with drip marketing campaigns. We have opened up a lot of channels between social, our email marketing campaigns, Google Ads, SEO, our reviews, word of mouth. Those traffic channels continue to bring us in growth. But you know, it's like, I think the idea is, well, you know, we got to do sort of the big picture thing to drive the traffic. It's staying in the small and the details.
Yeah.
I think the moment we try and scale too quickly, if you lose sight of that, you know, it's going to affect your sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the cool thing about reviews is you can use them across various marketing channels as well. You know, you can be putting them on your website, in your email blast that you're sending out. You can put them in your email signature. They just act as such great social proof. So I'm so happy to hear that you guys are so passionate about asking all your clients for reviews, because I agree 100%. I own a software company focused around helping people get reviews. So it's music to my ears.
You know, there's something to be said, and we have all of our clients usually using review management software. Sounds like we should put yours into our rota of recommendation.
Yes.
But we wholeheartedly believe in that, because again, what is reviews? It's word of mouth.
Yeah.
Nothing beats word of mouth when you've got, you know, people happy with you. And I want to say additionally, it's a lot easier to get a great review when you develop personal relationships with your clients. I know that's hard at scale, but you've got to work. If you are a very large agency, you've got to make sure that you're focusing on those touch points without it feeling automated. It's like we've become so automated with so much of our softwares these days that we need to be careful not to lose the human element, because that's the value proposition that we bring versus everybody else who's just chasing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really important to just make a process, get it in there, and make sure you're, you know, it's a bit of a numbers game when it comes to getting reviews and making sure you're following up with all of your clients, you know, verbally asking them for a review, giving them that Google link, holding their hand, making it as easy as possible, because they are so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. So I'd love to talk about the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome when growing your agency, and how you've overcome that.
In order to give good value, I want to think that through. We've had many challenges through the years.
Sure.
For us is knowing when to, I think the biggest challenges I've had is knowing when to grow.
Interesting.
I have been faced many times with I need to add a team member. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I can afford this team member. But because of the type of person this team member is that we're looking at, I have to answer the question, can I afford not to proceed without that person on my team?
What is the cost of inaction?
Really, truly. So the challenge for me has been risk, I suppose, is when to make that move. Mm-hmm. You know, particularly with the challenges of COVID, you know, our business went into free fall for a minute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sustaining that team. So every time we add a new team member, it's hand wringing between, wow, if we're going to bring on this person, you know, we need to make sure that we can afford to pay them and that we really are at that place to bring on that team member. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to affect our culture?
Yeah.
The hardest thing that I've done is this balance between skill set and who you are and how you will interact with our culture.
Yeah.
I'll give you a great example. Right now, we absolutely need to hire another SEO to our team. Mm-hmm. And I need this person yesterday. Mm-hmm. We can't afford it at this point, but I can't afford to make a wrong decision because I, from my own experience, one negative attitude will destroy our culture.
Yeah.
So to begin with, I've got my core values in place that gives me clarity on who I need to be hiring. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, a couple of our hires we brought on that had zero experience for what we needed them to do. Zero, which is very taxing to train somebody for months, be paying a full out salary. That, I think that is probably it, is our hiring is very different. I'm thinking long game, not short game in terms of, man, life is so short. I'm 44. I was 24 a few minutes ago. I know I'm going to be 64 in a few minutes from now. I really want to enjoy this journey.
Yes.
And who I bring into my team, like, I really want to enjoy working with these folks. Mm-hmm. And the last two hires we've made, they knew absolutely nothing for what we needed. And it was such a heavy lift getting them trained because I couldn't monetize on their services. But that has paid dividends down the line.
Wow,
I mean, now
so
people who do nothing are running circles around me with their knowledge. I mean, I'm calling them going, help me out here. So that has been the biggest challenge is really putting my money where my mouth is, where I really want to have a very vibrant and healthy culture mm-hmm. within my team for my own enjoyment, for their enjoyment, which in turn helps service our clients really well. Mm-hmm. But I've passed up on very qualified people because I just didn't feel that they were the right fit.
Yeah.
And it is much easier to hire on skill in the short term, but very painful in the long term if they're not the right culture fit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that culture is like cliche in agencies today, but I really mean it. I've worked in enough places with drama that I just don't want that in my business.
Detrimental to your other team members as well, right? You know, when they get happy because they're working with someone who's making their day-to-day difficult, you can't risk that. That's you don't want to lose one good team member because of one bad egg.
100%. And that's you know, yet before it was, wow, I can't afford not to have this person. I can't afford them. We got to figure this out. Now it's okay. We're at a point where I can afford, but, and I need somebody like yesterday right now. Mm-hmm. But I would rather struggle having to work extra hours to make it work until I find that right fit.
Yeah. Interesting. So do you have any tips for, you know, streamlining your hiring process, or is it just something you kind of go off on, you know, your intuition? Does this person, do I have a good feel for this person?
Start with your core values. You know,
it all comes down there.
I think the values is overlooked. Mm-hmm. You know, if an owner of a business has a set of standards in their brain and it's not written down, then how does everybody on the team know what the playing field is supposed to look like? What are the expectations of that business owner? What are the rules of engagement mm-hmm. for how what the expectations are from the business owner and business management, to know how we're going to roll, how we're going to treat our clients. I often say, we were saying this before we started recording, is maybe the biggest key to our success in the last 9 years is I am not at all focused on money, as one is taught in business school. I mean, I need to be financially intelligent, but if we take care of our clients, even sometimes at a loss, then the money always takes care of themselves, because I'm looking to take care of our clients better than anybody else can. So, that's certainly part of it. But at the end of the day, that's by far the, you know, finding the right team members that fit into your culture. And that all starts with clarity of vision. And that's your values. What do you want?
Yeah.
Because if you don't clarify those values and what's important, then you kind of lose track as you start going. What is all this about? Are we just chasing the dollar?
Yeah.
I just want to enjoy my work. I really do. And I feel like if we can do right by our clients and the money gets taken care of, it simplifies everything.
Absolutely. So I'd love to talk about your core values. And I know this is a long discussion, but could you just touch on, the core values that have been instrumental in creating the agency that you have?
The one that comes to mind most immediately is enjoy the journey.
Ooh, I like that.
I've already said, Julie, I've always had, since a very young age, this feeling of this recognition of time. I don't know why or where that comes from, but I recognize now more than ever, as I'm getting older, that it's fleeting.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a ball of stress. I've done that. So the reminder of, look, I really want to enjoy this journey as much as possible, really, really holds true. And it sort of simplifies, things for me, because it sounds kind of cool. Enjoy the journey and have a really great time. But, we really hold it to be true. We have a really fun time in our office with our group. And that helps bring clarity. I want them to have joy working here.
That's so cool.
You know, along with enjoy the journey, that has shaped our hiring. You know, I was originally born in England. I have a lot of family in Europe. And, most people that work in France, for example, have very liberal vacation time and, don't tend to work 40-hour work weeks. And in the idea of enjoying the journey, I want my team to have a level of flexibility or balance. As a new hire within our company, we only want our team members to be working 32-hour work weeks. We don't put any limitation on personal time off. If you need it, take it.
Yeah.
And we have 3 weeks paid vacation in year one, not including a week off at Christmas. So really 4 weeks paid vacation time in year one. I don't want you to earn it. I already trust you.
That's cool.
That all comes back down to the core value, enjoy the journey. It helps shape us. And we don't advertise, the work hours and the level of flexibility that we give our team, but it's something, if you join our team and, I want you to have a level of flexibility or balance in your life. I think, just to take another step back with enjoying the journey, I feel that as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, we need to treat ourselves as business athletes. You know, how does an athlete train and prepare? Let's just say, being that the Olympics are going on right now, you eat well, you get enough sleep, you train hard, but you take time away from training and your sport in order to have perspective and balance.
Right.
As entrepreneurs, we're no different, but we are business athletes. We need to get enough sleep. We need to be getting nutrition. We need to be getting exercise. Vacation time, I think too often in our society, certainly in Western culture, is like vacation is this luxury. No, it's a business strategy. I gotta get it. So, wax poetic. I'm just so passionate about the entrepreneurial journey and you know, the push-pull and the balance of it all.
Yeah, and having that as a core value, I think, is really smart from an employee retention strategy as well. You know, when people are happier, they enjoy their job. You know, they're just going to have that loyalty to you as well. And it's so costly and time consuming to train new staff. And you know, when you got a good one, you want to hang on to them. So,
100%.
Very interesting. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first, I'd love to know, where do you see Beyond Marketing in 5 years' time?
Great question. I wish I could quantify that in great detail. I anticipate we're going to be a lot busier. The market that we're in is just absolutely sizzling. There's a lot of commerce growing up, going around here, mm-hmm. and we're getting a lot of attention.
Awesome.
One of our core values is to be a community partner. And we have been getting more involved in our community by giving our knowledge, particularly to other entrepreneurs. And as a result of giving, because I hate to say this, I loathe networking, but by getting involved in our community and giving information and not nickel and diming or anything other, but literally going, hey, look, we're going to make time for this initiative. Mm-hmm. We're going to make time for other entrepreneurs. We're going to teach for free. The result of giving has allowed us to make lots of connections in the business community, because we're not sort of going in going, hey, my name is James LeBarry, here's my business card, call me if you need anything. We're coming at that totally different.
Yeah.
As a result of that, we are getting a lot more attention because we're wanting to be members of our community that are giving back. And as a result, we're getting in the room with people that are fairly consequential in our communities, and we're already seeing the results of trying to do good is coming back to us. And nice. So because of that, I do anticipate that our revenues, you know, we're forecasting our revenues to be 2, maybe 3-fold in 5 years from now. Nice. And it's not because we are trying to advertise harder, we're just trying to stay true to who we are and our values, and it's paying dividends for us.
Very cool. That's really exciting. And I love that. I don't want to call it a strategy, but I love that idea that you guys are, you know, giving back, and it's positively impacting your business.
It again comes back to this thing of time.
Yeah.
You know, if we're just, you know, working super hard and trying to make financial goals and that's it. And then, you know, who knows when, but I pass on, what was all this worth? What was it for?
Yeah.
So partner turns out, I guess it's a strategy. It's not conscious necessarily for that, but you give, you receive.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get myself ready. All right.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
A business book is Atomic Habits. Personal book is Unbroken.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Wake up at 5:30, move my body for at least 30 minutes on the treadmill at my house, shower and out the door and in my office by 7:30, block off time for writing between 7:30 and 9, uninterrupted, and then meetings from there.
Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Many, Tony Hsieh, certainly his philosophies, Simon Sinek, I suppose he's a CEO of his own company, love his philosophy, the CEO from, Howard Schultz from Starbucks, those three right off the top.
Great. And then what is your favorite online tool that you use in your business?
Monday.com.
Great.
Project management tools totally been great for us.
Awesome. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I have more self-belief.
Good
I can
one.
Provide more value than I once thought that I could.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, James. It was a pleasure to pick your brain and learn so much about your journey and your business. And I really appreciate you joining us.
It was a real pleasure, Julia. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.